It's time again for the Scotty Johnny podcast with your host, Scotty Johnny himself, John Barnett, and the ego himself, Cheddar Talk, Aaron Flottam, talking Wisconsin sports, NFL through D3, college hockey, doesn't matter. Two mics, two crusty vets, two opinions, one based in reality and one based in what do you bet on Twitter, with music by Delete Great Cars and Trucks. Here's John and Aaron.
Welcome, welcome, one and all. Welcome into the Scotty Johnny podcast. I'm your not-so-humble host, Jonathan Barnett, and with me, as per usual, is Aaron Flottam.
Hey, John, what's going on, man?
Oh, there's several things to talk about this week, at least. We finally have a little bit of news, and the Brewers are finally able to play a full week of baseball. So we've got all that. Other than that, though, things have been going pretty well around here. How are things down way down south?
I can't believe this is the COVID winter of our discontent, because this is the nicest summer I can ever remember on record in Wisconsin. It's been like 80 and not humid all week long down here. It's been great. It's been just the best weather. I wish we were able to do more things, and I don't know. But
you can still fish.
Other news, longtime listener Pete Owens texted me last week to remind me he hadn't critiqued our show in a while. Took a picture of himself on the Outer Banks of North Carolina in the sun on the beach out there, socially distancing, and telling us that he, in fact, is still listening to our podcast, even when he's on vacation in North Carolina. So if we went up one listener in North Carolina this week, that's why, John. So hi,
excellent.
Pete.
Well, hello. And I also want to welcome everybody into what is now our third season with the start of training camp. The start of training camp is our kind of annual renewal of the show at this point. This is the third season of the Scotty Johnny Show. We obviously had a full year plus, I think, over with Last Word on Sports before Aaron and I moved over here. But yeah, welcome to season three, everybody. It's going to be fantastic.
They haven't fired us yet, John. I can't believe that.
Yeah. Right. All right. Well, we're going to get going with everything we've got here and get right into sports with what we lovingly call our main event.
Starting things off with the main event.
All right, Aaron, we're going to start off with Packers because that's what we do.
Yes. Well, we didn't last week, but let's get back to it. Yes.
Yeah, it got last week was an interesting sort of way of going at it because of the other news, but barring gigantic news here, we're back to the biggest news in Wisconsin is Kenny Clark.
I know.
Kenny Clark, 4-year extension, $70 million. And only if you don't really pay attention to anything other than the football do you have, I mean, that's the only way you don't understand how great Kenny Clark is for this team and for you know, just the way the defense runs and how great a talent he is.
Yes.
He really just, he seals up that middle. He's very athletic. He moves very well. He's side to side. He owns centers and guards to just a ridiculous extent. And he's just, he's so strong and fast, and he's young. He's very young yet, and very excited
what
that
is
we
he's
kept
like
him.
24, 25?
Yeah, he wasn't even, what was it? He was still 20 in his first season. So he's still, I think he's 24 now. He's about to be 24.
So, yeah, he came out really young.
He is 24 because he can't, like, he's going to, I think during the season, he will get the ability to have a, decrease his driving insurance because of age, or he'll be able to rent a car this year.
Right. He turns 25 on October 4th.
Yeah. So this year he can rent a car. So that's nice. Good for him.
Well, he can rent a car, but he's been owning the centers in the NFC Central for 3 years now. So
yeah, he's definitely driving that bus.
Yes.
he's fantastic. He's one of the best big men up front there. The fact that he was not on the NFL top 100 was laughable. Mm-hmm. He's a phenomenal talent and incredibly also a phenomenal young talent. You pay him his first big payday here, getting to that second deal where he doesn't have to worry about rookie contracts and all that stuff, and he's going to have that kind of money here, and it's well deserved, and it helps shore up that defense, and we're very glad to see it. Now, obviously, everybody's on board with this, but now we still have several people who are going to be free agents for next year. The biggest two, probably, I think, on everybody's minds, are going to be Bakhtiari and Aaron Jones.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to ask you this, Aaron. I didn't prep Aaron for any of this because I don't like to prep him because he's better off the cuff.
Yeah.
But Aaron, are you going with the namesake here, or are you going with David Bakhtiari, the Khal Drogo of the NFL?
The Khal Drogo. I have to see how Bakhtiari plays this year. He's been pretty solid, although it's been noticeable. Not noticeable. I mean, you have to really look, but his play has gone down a little bit, as it does with age. But I mean, as his physical abilities decrease, just like anybody else in the NFL, he gets smarter and he can overcome that kind of stuff. Anyone who has a long career at left tackle, the Joe Thomases of the world, Jackie Slater out there in the Rams. You can't tell me that Jackie was nearly as fast at age 40 as he was when he came out of college. But by that point, he was so smart that he could use leverage and various other things, you know. So I'm not this hyperbole to compare Bakhtiari to those who, but I was just using those as like just kind of people like who were all pros to the bitter end, you know. Joe Thomas, we wanted him to come play for the Packers, you know, and instead, like 6 months later, he was 220 pounds and looked like a fashion model. But, you know, but I mean, that's just saying on the high end of things, you know. So, Bakhtiari is a very good left tackle. I mean, I think anybody in the league would want to have him. See how the season plays out. You know.
Here's my thought on this, I guess.
If he doesn't noticeably slip, then give him a long term. Give him a 4-year deal because he'll be fine. But, I mean, do you pay him top tackle money or do you pay him top 10 tackle money?
Well, he's a 3 straight all pros, I believe, at this point, right? And you finally made a Pro Bowl this year.
Yeah, right. So,
I guess
you just got to look across the border to Minnesota to see what happens when you don't have a good left tackle for years and years and years on end. So, I mean, part of me says, Suze, even if there's a little slippage, you know, do you go with the devil that you know, or do you go with something new? You know, even knowing that his abilities might decrease over time, which everybody's do, except, you know, for Jackie Slater, I think he still plays tackle for the Rams, right? No. Who is Orlando Pace? But I mean, right. So is that an answer for you? I'm all for keeping him around. I think he's been great. He's been solid.
Yeah, and I would agree. I think and my answer before I even asked you this was I was going to say David Bakhtiari. And the biggest thing with that is a left tackle can have a much longer career than a running back. We're coming up on this is the fourth year of Aaron Jones. An average running back gets, 3.5 years? And he's been able to avoid a lot of that because he's been sharing time in the backfield for one thing. Mm-hmm. But I guess the other thing is who has depth at left tackle? Nobody has depth at left tackle. There's not like a guy waiting somewhere who is like, you know, when the Chargers had like Michael Turner and LaDainian Tomlinson, and then Turner went to go be a, you know, Pro Bowler with Atlanta afterwards. You're like, because you can have two great running backs and eventually one of them goes on and does something else. But nobody has to, you're not going to go sign somebody else's backup left tackle who turns out to be great because those guys are far more valuable.
The Vikings tried to do that, but
yeah, well, it's a harder way to go. If you have a left tackle, I think in a salary cap, you're going to have trouble with some of these things. I just don't think that you want to spend that money on running backs. I don't think there's value to it.
Look at the Chargers with Melvin Gordon. They let him go because they have what's his name? Guy I had on my fantasy Eckler. Team last year. Eckler. I mean, that guy is fantastic, you know, with a lot less miles on him too. So,
yeah. And they let him go for nothing.
And who knew who Aaron Jones was 2.5 years ago? Let's be perfectly honest.
You and me.
What's that?
Just you and me. No.
because we're UTEP fans. Go Miners.
Go Miners.
But I mean, to be perfectly honest, before 2 years ago, Aaron Jones was just a nice piece, right? Like, and then he kind of had a kind of breakout year. And I mean, everyone kind of knew he was a nice back. He definitely wasn't regarded like how he is now, like a top fiver. Am I wrong by thinking that?
No, I just... because Aaron can see me giggling. I was like, he's a nice piece and he's a nice back. And I just enjoy the conversation you're having and the separate conversation I'm imagining you having. Just enjoying.
Okay.
Speaking of that, though, I mean, not trying to go too far afield, though. there have been a lot of pictures floating around Twitter the last 2 days of just AJ Dillon in shorts.
Oh God!
Have you seen all these? They're...
Oh my God, he's ripped, man. He looks like the wide receiver that
DK Metcalf.
What's that? DK Metcalf. Yeah, he looks like that. And so, I mean, that's the other thing too. It's like it depends upon what Aaron Jones asks for. Like if Aaron Jones is going to try and cash in, but I mean, look, Delvin Cook tried to do that too, and now Delvin Cook is like he's looking at it. Like he's not going to be able to get that kind of money. I mean, him and Delvin Cook should probably get about the same kind of money, but Delvin Cook is coming to the realization that if he wants to play for the same team, he's going to have to, the running back market's not there. If Aaron Jones comes out and says he wants to be the highest pick, and I wouldn't see Aaron Jones is a little bit more humble than that, but if he comes out and wants Zeke money, no, not a chance. But
well, the difference is of course, Delvin Cook is trying to do this while he has a contract.
Right.
And you know, at the end of the year, there is no contract for Aaron Jones. He's just, people can't look at Dalvin Cook.
Right.
You know, they just can't.
That just meant for like dollar wise though.
Yeah.
Delvin Cook's in a bad place where if he holds out, he'll have a bad year and then he can't be a free agent. And then he has to just come back to the Vikings for the same amount of money. He's between a rock and a hard place, but the money thing for, I mean, Aaron Jones, I've said it already. If Aaron Jones asks for what he should probably get, then the Packers can't sign him. But it's like, who else would sign him though for that? Would it be one of those James Harden things when James Harden left OKC for Houston? Are you going to step over nickels to pick up dimes? You know, like, do you stay with the team you are for this amount, or do you go make a million more with another team, a la Everson Griffin, who decided to leave the Vikings for the Cowboys for $1 million more a year?
So, he opted out of his contract thinking he was going to be much more in demand. The other thing is just going to be, the value for what you're paying for. If we see this year that, I mean, we know what we have in Jamal Williams, which is he's not Aaron Jones in terms of speed or athleticism, but he's still got very good hands and he's still got, he's got better power just in terms of that.
And a better post game interview too.
True. His swag daddy. Yeah.
He's the best.
But yeah, the other thing too is, I mean, we just went out and drafted a guy. So how much, I mean, we're going to have to see him at some point. Not in the preseason. We won't see anybody in the preseason. And we got Devontae Mays, who's just going to be gone, right? The Notre Dame kid. Because we're not going to, because Tyler Irvin's probably making this team. And you're not going
to
keep.
How many people? Aren't we able to carry more people this year, though? What is the.
No, they have not changed the rosters in any way.
That's so, I mean, dumb. Like,
you can kind of keep Tyler Irvin around, but you're going to want to be able to use him. So, I mean, right. My guess is they'll get him involved some in the passing and some other stuff.
I'm sorry. I know we talked to. I think we talked to Noonan. No, we talked to Herman about it. Are they going to protect the practice squad players, though? Or did they not change that either?
They haven't. This is something, again, we talked about would be an easy fix just to make it something simple like that. But, yeah, they have not made changes like that, just in the same way that the NFL has essentially not made any changes at all to anything that they
except for canceling the preseason. Yeah,
there's not a plan. So you don't know what it is that they're trying to do. But either way, I've enjoyed the Dylan photos and the people who are getting very, very excited over the fact that, like, hey, man, he's got big, big thighs and calves. You're like, awesome. I want to see him in pads and see what he does, though. You know what I mean? Like, that means something, like, once he's actually playing, because there's a lot of guys we've had that were, I mean, Mandrich was an incredible physical specimen.
Right.
And he had a long career, I guess, but he was never what we thought he was going to be. So I'd like to see him play.
Someone argue AJ Hawk. Now AJ Hawk wasn't as bottomed out as Tony Mandrich was. Tony Mandrich lasted a couple of years and like what, 8 years in the league?
Something just like that. He went to the Colts and had a couple decent years.
Yeah. But yeah. So whereas, AJ Hawk just never lived up to his fifth overall pick. He was a good linebacker for years, great personality. I'm glad he was out of the Packers, just never lived up to that number five.
And he's good on TV. He is good on TV, so he's good that way. I mean, Yeah.
But the other thing too that people, and this was a concern that was brought up during the draft with Dylan is that guy took a lot of carries in college. Like his tread is already worn down a little bit. you know, as opposed to someone like Aaron Jones, who came out of UTEP, and if you go back and look at his numbers, he had an average amount of carries, but there was still a lot of tread coming out of college. Now, A.J. Yeah. Dillon got run hard, and he doesn't run with finesse. He doesn't miss tackles like Aaron Jones. He makes tackles.
Yeah.
He forces people to tackle him. So
yeah. It'll be interesting. I
do see the comparison to what they're trying to do in Green Bay as to what they have in Tennessee with the big back, little back. I mean, he's not Derrick Henry that we know of yet, you know, but I mean, Derrick Henry's kind of I think Derrick Henry's probably about one of a kind for that running back. I don't think we'll ever see another one like him, just like we'll never see another Jerome Bettis or a Bam Morris, you know.
We'll see. I mean, like,
or Christian Okoye, you know, like they're all kind of their own those super big running backs that, you know, like they're not all like, they didn't have the same, or Aaron had Hayward, like they Marion Butts, you know, these big guys, like they all had different styles, you know? And so Henry's kind of different. So if Dillon plays sort of like him, that'd be great. You know,
yeah. Earl Campbell going back further.
Earl Campbell, yeah.
Think about that team with Christian Okoye. That Chiefs team also had Barry Word.
Mm.
That is a monster of a backfield.
The thing is, too, is Christian Okoye was misused in the NFL just like how Ron Dayne was.
Yeah.
They were not power backs. They just happened to be big dudes that could run. Yeah.
Like, that was the secondary thing. Like, they were big guys. They were big enough that linebackers, you know, they could run through linebackers and fast enough that, you know, corners still had to chase them. And, you know, especially in college, I mean, that in college he was faster than linebackers and way bigger than the corners, so it made him very hard to play against. I mean, and in the NFL he was athletic enough. I mean, the only time that Ron Dayne was ever used correctly was when he was with the Texans at the end of his career, when he had like four straight 100-yard games. You're like, yeah, you have to feed him the ball 20 times a game, just give him the ball
and get him on the outside, don't run him up the middle, like,
run him like a regular running back. But the Giants said, we're going to do Thunder and Lightning. You're going to be our only inside guy. You're like, that's not his game, really. You've misused him. They ruined his career. The other one thing kind of for NFL kind of pack-related stuff, I don't know if you saw this. I'm sure several people who are listeners saw this, but the Chicago Bears official Twitter put out a video of Mitch Trubisky in practice going back against no rush, throwing to a wide-open Jimmy Graham and completing it. And they're like, I don't want to overreact, but Mitch is 100% back. You're like, what? I don't want to overreact, but that's not really that big a thing. Like, I don't want to overreact or be hyperbolic, but this is the greatest tweet ever. You know, it's like, yeah, no, you're massively overreacting. Like,
because without a rush, me dropping back, I could probably throw a pretty good strike up to 30 yards to Jimmy Graham.
Yeah.
I've got an okay arm and I'm pretty accurate. And if no one's trying to tackle me and I can set my feet, I'm usually pretty spot on, you know? So,
yeah. And the other one was, there was somebody at Packers practice had some video of Aaron Rodgers throwing to nets, like doing a drill where he's stepping over a bunch of dummies on the ground, like the athleticism dummies, the drill dummies. And he's just, he's stepping over and moving his feet around and then throwing into nets. And they're like, oh, I don't want to overreact, but we're going to win a Super Bowl. That's like, yep, that's and if now, you don't have now, the context now. Of the Chicago Bears tweet, it just looks weird. Now, but they're definitely making fun of the Bears.
Now, if you show me that video again where Aaron Rodgers is dropping in dimes into that net at 55 yards and say, we're going to the Super Bowl, that I might get, because that's hard.
Or the dude perfect ones that he did. He did a whole video with Dude Perfect that was pretty funny, too.
Oh, the other fun one with that, and I hate this because this weird rivalry between Saints fans and Packers fans right now. Drew Brees did a really good Dude Perfect, too.
Oh, okay.
I mean, because Drew Brees is ridiculous.
He's very good.
I did see Andy Herman put out a tweet, something about, I take one day off, and that's when they have a Tim Boyle presser. And I miss it, you know. And someone in the subtweets, I don't remember what it was. It was Tim Boyle would be the starting quarterback in Chicago ahead of Foles and Trubisky.
I still don't think that's true, but that's fun to think.
And there was also a really good picture I wanted to share. I sent it to you on Twitter, and everyone else could see it. I did forward to John on Twitter. It's a great picture of Aaron Rodgers at practice today. And it's just a fun picture. Wes Hod is his Twitter handle.
One of the official reporters for the Packers. He works for the organization. Yeah.
He's got a great picture of Aaron Rodgers just in Zen mode laying on the field. It's pretty cool. So
the players are saying, like Crosby's even saying that Rodgers is having one of the most relaxed camps he's ever seen. I think like some of the players talk about that. Like he was back catching the field goals. He was behind the uprights catching field goals from Crosby just out there in the field. And so part of that's just going to be, this is his second season in this offense, having the opportunity to now be comfortable in this offense, which is a different offense than he ran for the first forever of his career, is good. And definitely appreciate seeing that. One of the other people who's getting a lot of talk.
Well, he's relaxed because he knows he's out of a job and he's going to be replaced week six and opt out of his contract and go play for Mike Holmgren next year down in Dallas, because that's the reason why they're not giving Dak Prescott a long-term contract.
Or Mike McCarthy, one or the other in Dallas.
What did I say?
Yeah, I said Holmgren.
Oh, dear God.
Wow. That was awesome. I love it.
Yes. No, he's going to go play for McCarthy down in Dallas, and that's why they're not giving Dak a long-term contract. That's Packers fine. Will be starting Jordan Love by week six.
Week six. We're not going that far. One of the other players.
There's that too. Yeah, we're not.
One of the other players getting a lot of talk.
That's impossible because we're not going to get to week six.
Has been Kirksey. Christian Kirksey has been getting a lot of love in practice so far. He picked off Rodgers today in practice. They said he's looked very good dropping back into zones. I mean, this is the thing is, he is a very good coverage receiver. He's very quick. He is a massive upgrade over what we've had at linebacker. The only question still will be with Kirksey is, does he how many downs does he play? Does he finish your season for you?
Right.
So
because that was the beef out in Cleveland, right? Was that he was
so
just
many games.
Couldn't stay healthy, right? Okay.
Yep. I mean, he's a fantastic player.
Sometimes, you know, I'm trying to think, help me out here. There's a player like that. Who had a real bad case of I can't think of it, but there was a player who had a really bad case of the getting hurts all the time when they were early on in their career, and then they switched teams, and then they were never hurt again. I can't think of.
You want to tell me what teams?
No, I don't even know the teams. I just stuck in. It's like there's a story in my brain somewhere about one of those players that always was injured, and then he just went to another team and just was never injured again because they didn't use him in the same way. Huh. You know? God, what? You keep talking, I'll think of it.
Yeah, we'll kind of move on here because that's kind of what we got for football today. So we're very excited about this, but it's at least some news.
Right.
We will move on into the Brewers now. And the best part is that the Brewers have actually given us news and given us life. The Brewers are 500 again. They did it by getting three straight wins over the Cubs. The Cubs, who have now lost four straight as they lost Monday here today. The Brewers are now just three back after looking kind of helpless for huge chunks of this season, looking like they just couldn't see the ball at all. They've been getting a lot of help. I mean, and a lot of the hitting has been coming from, first off, Yelich has been playing better. Hira had a rough patch and seems to have gotten kind of through it and is at least, we're hoping he's through it. He had a good couple games there against the Cubs, managed to get a home run. In the game the other day to take a 0-3 game to a 3-3 game. And on top of that, we've been getting a lot of work from Arcia and Urias. There's an accent in that letter there, so it's probably pronounced Urias.
That's one of those dangerous names.
Urias. And then the pineapple from Pineapple Yoga. He also been playing very well. I mean, not that Narvaez has not been playing well, but man, Pena is not a step down in any way. He's been very good defensively. He had a strike him out, throw him out, double play the other day.
Just to
end the inning. Yeah, so Pena's played very well. He had a couple good hits there. Arcia did well.
Urias was 3-for-4 yesterday, and Urias and Arcia at the bottom of the lineup were both 3-for-4 yesterday.
Yeah,
and they scored 5 of the 6 runs. The Kesson Hira's home run was the other run. So
yeah, and the thing like a lot of people are like having Arcia and Urias out there is like one of them's just chasing the other because they can both feel the other one right there. Urias has been playing fantastic. And just having that amount of infield talent has been great. I hate to say it, but the DH allows us to kind of play this kind of depth in a lot of different ways here and do a lot of different things with it. But it's been very nice.
I didn't even mind them testing out Arcia in center field with the
I don't know where you're going with this. I'm sorry.
He's opted out of the season.
Oh yeah, with Lokane gone.
Lokane gone. Good God, my brain lately. But yeah, no. Day, what Arcia played one or two games out in center field.
Yeah, I guess I'm not remembering exactly how if he played one or two. But yeah, he definitely. It's been
thinking maybe Lokane won't be back next year or whatever. You know, like if you've got Urias and you've got him, you know. I mean, moving from infield to outfield, Robin Yount did it, worked well. But I mean, talk about a guy who's fast, who could cover a lot of ground if he had to, who's got a good arm.
He's got a very good arm, yeah.
So, I mean, it's a logical play to put him in center field. He could cover a ton of ground. It's like you said, having them at short and third almost is kind of a waste of space because they could probably cover second to third by themselves, you know? Basically, the third baseman is just covering the line, and that's about it. So,
yeah,
I mean, it also leads to some interesting infield shifts that Council could probably get away with, moving the third baseman almost like a half short and putting the shortstop right behind second. You know, you could almost get that floating outfielder with the second baseman. You know, and Smoke's been playing well lately too. He's been hitting well as of late.
Yeah, getting him turned around a bit has been. You know, a good step here. Like I was saying, Manny's now batting .333 on the year. He's got an on base. Well, let's see, his OPS is over one. That's a 1.012. And Urias is 1.079.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, where'd this Lindblom guy come from, by the way?
Oh, I forget where he was playing last year, but yeah, he was a great pickup this year, and he's been playing.
His pitches are insane.
He's got like six pitches that he'll throw at any time.
Six good pitches. And yeah. Like, it's crazy. Now, he does give up some walks. Like yesterday, he gave up, he only gave up giving up five earned runs with four walks and eight strikeouts. So it seems like feast or famine with him. But man, he's got some crazy stuff. Like, how have I never heard of this guy before? Well, it looks like he was in the American League mostly. That'd probably be a big part of it, but
that can change some of it. Yeah. So, I mean, like, Woodruff's been great. Hauser's been very good out there too. That's definitely helped. They both got whips right around one. Suter coming in on the bench, off the bench, or you know, from the bullpen with Peralta and Claudio coming in the bullpen. Phelps has looked good from the pen too. He's been able to take one or two innings here and there. We have not particularly gotten to see all that much of Hader at this point yet, but he's been fine. Knebel still not got it back. That's the thing that hurts the most right now. I mean, we've got a fairly deep pen, but I mean, you've got extra spots out there, so everybody's got a few extra pitchers they can use.
Kills me that Jeffress is looking good for the Cubs. Why do you have to go play for the Cubs?
Right. Knebel does all right in stretches.
Seattle. Go play in Seattle or something, please.
But what we've basically learned is we don't want Knebel in one-run games. I think that's kind of the lesson we've learned at this point.
Well, that's what we learned about Suter, too. Well, although Suter's played better lately, too. But, I mean, people still remember Suter really hasn't played much in, like, 3 years.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, speaking of people who haven't been playing well lately, I love the Cubs' hate for Christian Yelich at Javi Baez is nothing more than just a fancy slide and one good play at shortstop, and that's about it, because that guy sucks.
He does. He sucks a lot.
Well, 0 for 5 in the last game against the Brewers. Or today he was 0 for... No.
Yeah, he was 0 for 5 against the Brewers. And then, he hasn't been particularly effective.
He's on the Mendoza line right now, and his lifetime batting average is .268, by the way. Saying.
Yeah, he's had he had that very fun slide into first base the other day, but he was still out, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, he still got him. Yeah.
Well, here's the thing with the Brewers right now in terms of like Woodruff and Hauser are legit top of the order pitchers. I mean, like they've been playing great. Lindblom's been able to step in, and Anderson too have been okay in that 3-4 spot. Lauer, though, had been just awful. He had a couple days where things looked okay for a little bit, but he never escaped a big inning. His ERA is 12.54 right now. For a starting pitcher, who started three games. No, I'm sorry. He started two. He was in three games, but he only started two. Pardon me. But still, it just, yeah, just never had enough of anything that, that could get you through a full game. He was gone pretty early on in several of those games. It looked like two. So I think they designated for assignment and then cut him eventually. And the good news is that Corbin Burnes looks like he's coming back. So that's gonna be good. Adding Burnes in that rotation, I mean, one, if you say he's maybe the three and you have Lundblom and Anderson off the back end, then I mean that's a good group to have in terms of starting pitching. Like it feels pretty decent there. And then you can say we've got Suter, Peralta for long inning relief. We can even bring in Claudio and Phelps, a different spot starts with Yardley too, and then we've got a decent closer, and then Knebel can take some innings while he's getting his feet back underneath him here and there in, you know, 3 and 4 run games if we can get to something like that. But yeah, I feel all right with this pitching staff right now. We just got to get more consistent with this team's hitting. But they hit the Cubs and they hit John Lester. I mean, like they hit him around.
And someone was saying during the pregame too, I don't know if it's Jeff Levering, but like the Cubs have avoided pitching Lester against the Brewers because he doesn't match up well against the Brewers. But in a shortened season like this, you can't not. Like it was his turn to pitch. And yeah. And they knocked him around a little bit. So
speaking of no place to hide, the NL Central is just so interesting as we keep going through here. Right. The Brewers are 10-10. And of course, the Cardinals are about to play their 10th game coming up here soon because they've been cleared after 16 days of not playing baseball. I don't know what to do with that team. Like at one point, I tweeted out, like, have them just cancel the rest of their games, like, just forfeit. And someone's like, well, that's not fair for all the other divisions. I'm like, none of this is fair, man. Yeah. If things are going to be fair,
I hope baseball's making them play all their games thinking that they'll get in. So people get their games in and then last minute tell them, oh, you don't have enough games qualified for the playoffs. Thanks for participating.
Thanks for trying. You just know that at one point it's going to be, they're going to have to play three straight days of doubleheaders against the Cubs, followed by three straight days of doubleheaders against the Brewers. And then they're going to have to fit in four games, you know, like 2 days of doubleheaders against the White Sox, who are no longer on their schedule for anything. They're going to have to like play them as they're on their way back from Kansas City, or like meet them in Kansas City and play them there or something. I don't know. Who even knows how they're going to get that done?
Right.
They have a ridiculous number of games to make up. More games than they have days left to make up. And four of them are against a team they can't doubleheader against because they don't play them again. I don't know how they're going to manage this. And now today, we also get news. Well, not today, pardon me. Like over the weekend, we had the news of the Reds had a positive test and they've had to miss the weekend series against the Pirates. So the Cardinals cost the Cubs three games, the Brewers three games. Now the Reds and Pirates are going to miss three games because of the Reds. So this is the third team to have to miss games because of COVID. I don't know. It just still, I don't know exactly how this ends. Like, this is a season where I don't know what the end game is, how things are going to happen or what's going to go on here. It's going to be a very interesting way to finish the season. We're a third of the way through the year.
Right.
Well, the end of the season. It's going to be very strange. And now there's also this, who is it? The Cleveland Indians actually had to send a couple players away, Mike Clevenger and Zach Plesac.
Yeah, because Dan Plesac's kid was too stupid to stay away. He like was going out and stuff.
I think he also posted on social media how he was breaking the curfew stuff. And,
yes,
I mean, they call it a bubble, but it's not a bubble. It's bubbles.
Yes.
Yeah, which sounds like a clown.
He was being very boastful about it. And that is Plesac's kid, right?
I'm pretty sure it is.
I mean, there's not a lot of Plesacs that I know, so. Yeah. Sorry, I would have joined more in on the COVID conversation, but I was trying to make an argument in the background here that Javi Baez is really no better than Corey Hart to this point in his career, and if he actually finishes out his career, he'll have about the same stats as Corey Hart.
Possibly. Corey Hart was a consistent 2020 guy.
Yeah. Lifetime Corey Hart was he played from 14 to 15, or from 04 to 15, and he was 271 with 162 home runs and 538 RBI. Javi Baez, who was drafted in 11 and started playing in 12 or 13, I think. So he's been playing for 7 years, which is four less than Corey Hart at this point. He's 268, 113, and 364. So at this current rate, Javi Baez will have a less productive career as a hitter than Corey Hart. Now, I was thinking about Corey Hart because I was thinking about that tag that he put on Javi, that Hader put on Javi Baez. Yeah. And I'm trying to figure out who's skinnier, Hader or Corey Hart.
I would say it's Hader. That's just my feeling from remembering Corey Hart's. You know, yeah, I think
Corey Hart was like 6'6 and 180 pounds. Like I remember watching him in the on deck. No, seriously, was
he was 6'6. Really tall? Yeah, I remember he was not 180 pounds though.
Oh, he was. He didn't weigh that much, but he was. I just remember him standing in the on deck circle and thinking to myself, "My God, how does that man produce any power? Because there was nothing to him. He was just a string, you know." And Hader's the same way. It's like, how do you throw the ball that hard? There's nothing to you. Like,
I don't know, it's the torque. It's the amount of, you know, increase the lever arm.
Yeah. Thanks, John.
Yeah. I don't know. Trying to throw in some fifth grade physics. You know, if you increase the lever arm, give me a lever arm long enough, I'll move the earth. Who is that? Sure. Just one of the ancient Greeks said that. I forget which one of them. I'm sure my dad will remind me in the morning and when he sends me my text.
Yeah, he's 6'6", 240, but I was
the 6'6" was not hyperbole. The weight was hyperbole for you.
Yeah, no, but I mean that was a light 240. I mean, there's no way. I mean, 240 stretches out a long ways. He was a two-time All-Star too. Everyone forgets that, and he hit in the home run derby too.
Yeah,
because there was the 2010 year, he hit 31 home runs and 102 RBIs. Okay. In 145 games with a .283 batting average. I mean, that's pretty spectacular. I mean, he hit over 100. He struck out a lot, though, too. Remember that?
Yeah.
That same year, he struck out 140 times. His last year with the Brewers, he struck out 151 times in 149 games. God, I forgot. He struck out a lot, too.
Yeah, I mean, he was a very nice player. He could hit a lot of doubles. He had good power, and he had good speed, and he's underrated for his speed because he didn't look as fast because he had the very long stride. Kind of like how Randy Moss never looked like he was as fast as he was because he looked so easy running and he didn't have to. Right. I mean, like he had a very long stride, which and he moved it quickly too. And he was just so yeah. I mean,
Corey Hart had over 20 steals 2 years.
Yeah.
So he was in the 2020 club 2 years.
Yep.
So
I mean, he's a very good player.
No, I loved him when he was a good part of those mid-aughts to early teens teams. So
yeah. So looking at this now, I mean the Brewers lost the two series against the Reds and the Twins, but if you only go over their last six games, they won four of their last six against at home against the Twins and then in Chicago. But now the Brewers get today off Monday and they'll start playing the Twins.
That's what's crazy about this season, too. So we just played the Twins, and then we played the Cubs. Now we're going to play the Twins, and then we're going to play the Cubs.
No. After that, we've got Pirates, and then the Reds, and then the Pirates.
That's what it is. Pirates, then. Yeah, that's right. It's Pirates with the season, with the series in between. Yarr. They suck this year, by the way.
Which is great. This will be a good way to end August. Like, get through the Twins, who are great and can score three runs in a blink of an eye.
I root for them the
other, you know, was it 54 games that they're not playing us? I'm very happy to see the Twins win. It makes me, you know, I want to see a Twins Brewers World Series because the only time I root against the Twins is if they're playing the Brewers, and that's just because I'm rooting for my team. But I like to see the Twins play well because they're in their window now, because that's what happens in the MLB. People like teams like the Twins and the Brewers or the Pirates or the Royals, we don't just get to retool. You have to completely rebuild because you get a window. And the Twins are in their window now, and I feel very good about that. And we'll see how it goes. Yeah. The teams that are not in their window are the Reds and the Pirates, and those are the 11 games that we will have in a row right after we play the Twins.
The Pirates are the only team in Major League Baseball that has less wins than the Red Sox. Well, the Pirates have less wins than the Cardinals do, but
yeah, then we get
as well. But that's because the Cardinals are 5-5. But Boston is 6-16. Did you see that?
I haven't. I haven't been following the American League as tightly.
Oh my Lord,
I'm sure my son knows all of that. My son knows everybody's backup, left fielder.
No, of course. I did at that age too. You did too.
Yeah, I did. Everybody
did that. The Braves are 14-10. That means they played 24 games, and the Cardinals have played 10.
Well, they will have played 10 soon. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it says here that they're 5-5, so they already lost.
Oh, they lost. Sorry. Okay. It was not a loss. Orioles
are playing. Orioles are playing well this year too.
Yeah.
But
so then after the Brewers get this, we've got to play the Twins. Then we've got. 11 games, I said, because it's 3 games Pirates, 4 games Reds, 4 games Pirates. So there's 11 game stretch there where you got just Reds and Pirates, which should be hopefully something where you can make some hay, start getting things going again. But then, they're going to go through they're going to have a whole bunch of AL Central to start off September here, because they'll have 2 against the Tigers, 3 against the Indians, 2 against the Tigers. And then, Cubs and Cardinals for 6, but then, 3 against Kansas City. It's going to be, we're going to spend a lot of time in Missouri. Kansas City's at home. Never mind. But the doubleheaders are going to show up in September, as well as we got doubleheaders against the Cardinals on the 14th, the 16th, and the 25th. So that's going to be something kind of impressive there. That's going to be a very long month for the Brewers. Luckily, they do have, at this point, a couple built-in days off there. So they'll get a day off before playing the Cubs, and then they'll play 5 games in 3 days from the 14th through the 16th, and then they'll get the 17th off before they have to play the Royals. But yeah.
Hey, I was thinking about something the other day, John, and tell me if I'm completely wrong on this one.
Oh, I will.
Because I know, thank you.
That's why I'm here.
So I was thinking about this Cardinals situation, and yes, they're going to probably have to travel a lot more, and they're going to have to play a lot of games in a row, like multiple doubleheaders in a row if they ever want to get caught up. But in the long run of things, if they're playing doubleheaders with 7 innings in each game, they're literally going to win or lose games playing less innings than the teams that have played every single game, as they should, playing 9 innings at a crack. Now, granted, the wear and tear is going to come from the fact that they're playing 14 innings a day.
Yeah, they're getting
2 games out of 14 innings, whereas everybody else has to get 2 games out of 18 innings. So I would argue an unfair advantage to some of these playing 7 inning double headers, because at the end of the season, if they do get caught up in, some mathematician can do all this for me, but I'm trying to figure out in my head, like, is there going to be an advantage to having played less innings of baseball over, because it's such a condensed season anyways, all these other teams have to fill 9 innings worth of pitching.
That'll be interesting, I guess. Yeah. The one thing that helps is there's expanded rosters for pitchers. So there's more pitchers on your roster anyhow. So it doesn't hurt as much as normal. I'll say this though. And I just thinking about this as you were talking about that too, this many doubleheaders, the Brewers are going to have 3 of them in September here, all against the Cardinals. I think the Brewers have one built-in advantage that does help the Brewers is Narvaez and Pena having 2 catchers for doubleheaders.
Yeah.
So you don't burn out your catcher. Burning out a catcher in a doubleheader is hard. Like day game after a night game, having a catcher catch 14 innings, or extra innings, whoever knows. That's hard because they're going to go, 4:10 start time on the 16th or on the 14th, and on the 16th, and then another game, and then they'll be back 6:40 the next day. It's like the Brewers can play Narvaez and then Pena and give some rest to one or whatever they got to do, or play one for 2 games and then give one the day off. And it's not as giant a drop off. Both of them have been fairly productive this year.
Right.
And so I think that the Cardinals, I guess I'm trying to even think who their backup catcher is, but I guess I feel that that's at least some small advantage that it gives us.
No, I didn't even think about the catcher thing. That's going to be a, oh, that's going to be hell on those catchers. Because they, because yes. I mean, the, because I mean, you do only have two catchers. I mean, you have a bullpen catcher, but
yeah,
is that person, that person's not on the roster per se, right? That's just a bullpen catcher.
Yeah, not necessarily. Yeah. You, I don't know what you would do with that, but I mean, like having two very good catchers on this team, two who can hit and two who can play the defense like that. Right. I think that that's going to help. I don't know that it's like the defining experience of those two games, but I think what you can do is say that that's an advantage we can get out of that because it's going to suck. I mean,
right. Because the Cardinals in the meantime are going to have to like be using their catcher down in their minor league pool or wherever they keep their minor league pool at, bringing them up and back and down. Because I mean, if you're doing 12 straight double headers in a row, I mean, literally that's extra inning. I don't know how you'd even do that.
I'd be interested in seeing how they're going to schedule all of those things there just for the Cardinals schedule.
Yeah, no, thank you, Cardinals, for really hosing the NFC, or I almost said NFC North, the NL Central, because now all the NL Central teams that have to make up, well, I guess Detroit's actually getting the biggest one out of that, but like all these other teams are going to have to bend over backwards to make it work for the Cardinals now. It's, I don't know.
It's going to be a very interesting schedule from here on out. I'm just trying to look ahead to see if they've scheduled any of those other games so far.
It's like I said to you during the pregame, when we were getting ready for the show here, if any of those doubleheaders get rained out, let's say the Brewers Cardinals double, what the first one gets rained out, then what? Now you have to make up two games in even more condensed time.
Yeah. No, this is going to be good. I'm just trying to, looking at where they had. So they had one of their White Sox made up games just yesterday or this Saturday. So they had some of that made up. They're going to be playing doubleheaders today against the Cubs and then again Wednesday against the Cubs. Then they're going to have Reds for 4 days, Royals for 3 days, doubleheader against the Pirates, and then they're going to play a couple games against the Indians. So, yeah, they're going to have at least four doubleheaders here. Mm-hmm. They already tried to reschedule the doubleheaders for the Tigers. So they had postponed ones against the Tigers. They're supposed to be of the 5th, but then those both had to be postponed again. They tried to make doubleheaders on the 13th. Those had to be postponed. They just played the White Sox finally with one doubleheader on Saturday, another one today and Monday, and then there'll be another one on Wednesday. They're going to have to play...
This is feeding into my argument from before about the 7-inning doubleheaders too, is that so the Cardinals are basically going to be playing 14-inning games, which is extra innings always sucks, but basically that's a 5-inning extra inning game. Imagine if they had to play 18 innings every day. They're saving 4 innings every day. Other teams don't have to play because I know everyone's going to say it's a doubleheader. It sucks. It's two games. And it's still like, but they're saving 4 innings. Imagine if they had to make up.
But they're saving them in a 2-week stretch where they get the time off. They're done saving that time. From here on out, they're only burning it.
Right. That's what I'm just saying is that they're getting away without having to play 2 innings a game. Whereas everybody else who was responsible and took care of themselves have to play 9-inning games. I'm trying to figure out, like I said, a mathematician needs to figure that out for me, but is there an advantage to them doing that? So them only playing 14, they have to play 14 innings to get 2 games in where everybody else has to play 18 innings to get 2 games in. Well, thank you for not just poo-pooing all over that thought, by the way.
It's interesting. I think that, I guess my thought on it, because I can't back up whatever it says, is that the advantage they have is over. And from here on out, they're going to play more innings than everyone else in the stretch.
Right.
And I think that that's going to hurt them in the long run. September, they have 7 doubleheaders.
Mm-hmm.
The 5th, 8th, 10th, 14th, 16th, 18th, and 25th.
Right.
That's doubleheaders against the Cubs, Twins, Tigers, Brewers, Brewers, Pirates, Brewers.
And what happens if one of the teams that they're supposed to play ends up having a COVID outbreak when they're supposed to play them, and now you have a whole series that's supposed to be doubleheaders that you need to make up?
Yeah. That's going to be insane. We'll see how this finishes, though. There's no real knowing at this point. The only thing we've got left here in terms of major Wisconsin sports at this point is that the Bucks will start Tuesday, tomorrow, in their very first game of where we finally have playoffs. All right. The only home team, the Orlando Magic, will be, the eighth seed. No home field advantage or home court advantage because there will be no one in the stands.
Right.
But, yeah, no, it's going to be I'm not particularly worried about this set. Again, the NBA season doesn't matter until round two of the playoffs because the top four teams in each conference are fairly well set, and the bottom four in the playoffs aren't normally anywhere near as good as what they could be. 4-5 is sometimes interesting, but 1-8 is not going to be any good. The Magic were 33-40, and that's where they are. I don't know. This is not a particularly good team. Their leading scorer, is it Vucevic? Vucevic? I don't know this guy even. he's their center. Gets 19.6 a game. They don't have a 20-point scorer. They're relying on Markel Fultz and Vucevic here. And I was like, they're going to be playing Aaron Gordon's out. Michael Carter Williams, one-time Buck, also out. So, I mean, like, they're playing backup point guards, backup power forward. Mo Bamba is not playing. He's their backup center. And for the Bucks, they've got a day-to-day for Ersan Ilyasova. That's it.
Right.
So, I mean, like, Bucks are healthier, and they're just way better than Orlando. The spread is 12 points in the first game for the Bucks, obviously. Mm-hmm. Over or under is 224.5. I think 130 to 100 is a pretty reasonable score. It might be a little high, but yeah, this seems like a reasonable over under, like 100 to 124, something like that.
Well, we'll see if the Bucks got their heads right between the Giannis headbutting incident and just the basic, you know, like we as Bucks fans try and play it off as, you know, there was nothing to do here anyways. It's just warm up games. Bud was just playing, you know, the backups as much as he could. He was trying to get everybody up to speed and stuff like that. I hope that they don't come out sloppy. I actually wouldn't be surprised if they lost the first game to Orlando just because Orlando had to play to fight to get into the playoffs. Whereas, I mean, it's just one of those early first round. It happens in the NHL all the time where first round number one seeds get upset, at least in the first game, if not in the whole series, because one team is just playing at a super high level. Kind of like how the West is really lucky that the Suns were so far behind that they couldn't get into the playoffs because they won every game in the bubble handily. I think the closest score was... Okay, there's a 7-point game in there. There's a 2-point game against the Clippers, but the Suns won every game, and they were on fire. Yeah, Suns on fire. See what I did there? Anyways. The West got lucky with that. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bucks lost the first game because it just didn't look good a lot when it was, you know, these first playing games and stuff like that. But I think it'll right itself if it doesn't. Or at least by halftime of the first game, you know, this first game coming up here, if they come out flat, and it won't take too long. There's a lot of good leaders on this team, Giannis being one of them. But I mean, just like George Hill, Kyle Korver, some of these guys who, you know, have been around for a while and have lots of playoff experience, they should be able to right the boat in a hurry if they come out a little bit flat. So I'm not too worried about this first series. I'm still worried about the Raptors. I really am. I think the Raptors have the Bucks number. Otherwise, nobody else in the East really scares me.
The Heat,
and now Hayward got hurt again with the Celtics too. Oh, so
yeah, I'm not worried about them. The Heat give me a little bit of nerve just because they seem to have just not against anybody else, but they seem to play very well against the Bucks, and I don't know why that is particularly, but they do. The one thing to keep your eye on in this series, I guess, is the one thing Orlando does is they do play some good defense. They're not a terrible defensive team. They're fifth in points per game against.
Right.
I mean, they don't score nearly enough to be a winning team, but they're the fifth best points against defense in the NBA. And I mean, the Bucks are eighth, so there you are. Right. Bucks have the best field goal percentage against. It just means that teams are shooting a lot of threes late, probably against them. So the Bucks opponents shoot 41.4% from the field. Toronto's right behind them at 42.8%. And I mean, like, where I'm trying to find where the Magic are, they They're 18th in that. And the Bucks are the best field goal shooting team in the NBA. So it might just be that in terms of a matchup, they're trying to just limit the amount of shots. But if the Bucks get going, Orlando's going to have to try to push pace or match pace or something. They're just trying to keep a game close, see what they can do. But if the Bucks can get any kind of lead, I don't think Orlando has the sort of ability to come back from that and to create something that, I mean, once they're down, I think they're going to be down. So
yes, I was just looking up who the player was that Orlando just lost to. They lost Jonathan Isaac to an ACL injury just a couple games back, which stinks. Injuries are always terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, when you start typing in Orlando, the only thing that comes in after Orlando Magic is Orlando Arcia.
Just all right.
It knows he's number two on the Google search. But
it knows us.
So, I mean, and the thing is, too, so, like, I was just looking in the background there, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be a great Orlando Magic mind and know what the Orlando... Apparently, my son's awake upstairs, too, because there's footsteps going up above here, if you're hearing that. Anyways. Okay. Anyways, a little late for him, but no, I don't pretend to be a Orlando Magic mind, but I do know that Orlando Magic has had quite a few injuries in the bubble compared to most teams that have stayed pretty healthy. So that's the other thing Orlando's got working against it, where the Bucks are completely healthy, right?
Yeah, other than Ilya Sova's got a day-to-day. I'm looking up, just because we're talking about it here, too. I got Nikola Vucevic, or whatever it is. I've been pronouncing him like his name is some sort of Slavic language, but he's Swiss. He's from Switzerland.
What?
Well, Switzerland.
Him and Federer, those are the two Swiss athletes I know.
There you go. And
that's it.
Oh, right there. Shoot. Who was the Swiss goalie? I used to know him. He was a pretty good goaltender.
Oh, that's right. There's some good Swiss hockey players.
They got a couple. They had a nice goaltender for a while, and I can't think of his name, which is how good he was. And I don't know this guy either. So it's Federer.
Federer is arguably one of the best tennis players ever. But
true. So, yeah. That's really all we have in terms
Switzerland's gorgeous, by the way. If you've never been there.
Not yet.
No, we'll get there. It's Sunday. Something else.
Once the kids leave.
I can't even begin to explain to you. It's the most beautiful place on earth.
You're just taunting me here. You're just trying to get me
outside of Superior, Wisconsin, most beautiful place on earth.
There you go. You got to put America. America. For those of you who don't know, one time Aaron said that to me in a DFAC in Taji. He said, dining facility, pardon me. And he said, you know, Switzerland's just the most beautiful place in the world. I was like, Aaron, why do you hate America? He just dropped his fork and just dropped his head and laughed.
to be perfectly honest, the United States does have some more beautiful places than Switzerland. For your eyes, and that would be Yellowstone, Glacier, lots of places in the mountains, Smoky Mountain Range.
Yep.
There's even places in Wisconsin. There's even places in Wisconsin here in northern Minnesota where you get on a lake, especially in northern Minnesota where there's big hills that are borderline, you know, small mountains up in northern Minnesota. They're absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. But the thing is with Switzerland is that unlike these places, which are remote and any of the Apostle Islands up in Lake Superior too. Door County, if you get it where there's not enough tourists around, you can actually enjoy the natural beauty of Devil's Lake. Another one too, if you can get away from the people. Yellowstone is the perfect example. If you can get away from the people, Yellowstone is one of the most amazing places you'll ever see on planet Earth. The thing is with Switzerland is that you incorporate all that along with a culture and the towns mixed in there and the mountainside towns and the accessibility with trams to the top of the mountains. And it's clean. The waters in the lakes are blue. There's glacier runoffs everywhere. It's unbelievable. It's the full package because you got the cities to go along with it, as opposed to a lot of our most beautiful places are completely rural, you know, or they're in nature. So, I mean, I'd even argue like the Black Hills South Dakota. The absolutely. Badlands, we were just, too. The Red Rocks in Colorado Springs, Garden of the Gods and overlooked by Pikes Peak. I mean, there's lots of beautiful places in the United States, but Switzerland, man, jeez.
And someday we'll be able to get back out and see all these things.
Right, exactly. Once we get out of parenting hell. Hey, I wanted to say one last thing to you, John. I know we all dislike Clay Travis at this point.
Oh yeah. Jeez.
But he did have a good tweet. I just watch his tweets because he does have a couple good ones that come through once in a while.
Blind pig finds an acorn in the mud.
Right, exactly, because the snark is high with this one. But he did say something along the lines of his tweet was, if the SEC somehow pulls off a 10-game schedule without a hitch this fall, Big Ten presidents better get put into the witness protection program. And I was like, yeah, because if it does happen, that's going to be a hard one for Big Ten.
They already haven't had. I mean, like LSU has already had massive problems. There's no way, like Mississippi is just in the grips of something terrible.
Well, if you don't test for it, then it can't happen.
Yeah, we'll be good.
So anyways.
And that's what'll happen. Basically, if the Big Ten and the Pac-12 are doing something and you think they're dumb, you're the dumb one because those are the smartest schools that aren't in the Ivy League.
What was the bit? Like, if you ever get on YouTube, it's something about it's something about Cleveland. There's two videos. It's about Cleveland, and it's. I was introduced to them by people from Ohio when I was at a military school, and that's why. And it was. It's just like it's supposed to be like a promo for Cleveland, and it's supposed to look 80s and stuff like that. Cleveland, our entire economy is based on LeBron. You know, it's like it's just the same thing with every state in the South. Our economy is based on SEC football.
Yeah, it's a big thing. All right, we had some things I was going to talk about in the last call, but we've used up all of our time this week already. So thank you again for joining us. The beginning. Episode 1 of season 3 of the Scotty Johnny Show. Thank you to all of our wonderful listeners, including, of course, those of you in North Carolina on vacation and such. So, and all of our friends all over the U.S. and around the world. And
he always listens to us at 1.5 speed. Did you know that? I never told you that, did I?
Do I sound cooler that way or worse?
No, he says we're a good listen at 1.5 speed because of the way we talk. There's no sound effects or anything like that, and we don't run over each other too much. So you said we're a good listen at 1.5. I can't listen to anything at 1.5. Everything sounds so strange, but anyways.
I barely listened to you at 1. Anyhow, whether you are on the town.
One-on-one.
Whether you are on the town or on the go or safe on the couch, remember, it is always on Wisconsin.
This has been the Scotty Johnny Podcast. Remember to find the boys on Twitter at ScottyJohnny1 or online at ScottyJohnny.com. Thanks for listening, and on Wisconsin.